Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 21st of April, recording this time at 4:58 p.m. British Standard, British Summer Time. This is my second audio of the day. Given Greenspan's comments and Wall Street's late reaction to what he had said last night, and some choppy activity in here today, and given that particularly as I was changing my portfolio rather substantially, I thought you might appreciate some earlier notification, so thus my 1:30 p.m. Audio. So let's just run through things as they stand right now. Needless to say, this remains an extremely nervous time for the markets, and primarily due, as I've said all along, to the weakness of the U.S. Treasury bonds and also the rallying U.S. dollar. Now, those aren't necessarily negative factors. Certainly the rallying U.S. dollar isn't generally, and some view that as a very, very good event indeed. But what it does do is break away from what had been the consensus view, and that in itself is destabilizing psychologically for a number of people in the markets who had backed trades, particularly the short dollar trade and also the yield curve play by borrowing short from the federal funds at the federal funds rate. This I'm talking now, of course, of financial institutions doing this, and lending long by purchasing a higher yielding, longer dated U.S. Treasury bonds. Okay, now this is inevitably viewed as more of a U.S. and European problem by proxy than an Asian problem, and it's just noticeable that a number of the Asian markets were steady today. Not all of them were up, but I did notice, for instance, that South Korea hit a new high on the day. India was up. It's one of my favorite, it's been one of my favorite markets all along. So Malaysia was up a bit of the ones that I had actually checked. So certainly no real follow-on from Wall Street. Now Japan was down only slightly, 8 points, just under 8 points on the Nikkei 225 stock average. The Hang Seng Index is the main exception. That has been hit hard by the dollar's rally. And that closed down 167 points. I'm just grateful that I had my stop level, my in-the-money stop on that trade that I had opened up there earlier in the month, I think it was. Okay, now, in terms of European markets, they have been affected by Wall Street today, but not big sell-offs by any means. And most of these are now closed, and we've seen declines like ranging from 29 points on the FTSE to 35 on the German DAX, 168 points on the Italian MIB 30. Most generally under 1%. The two that were slightly larger than that were the Spanish IBEX and the OMX, Swedish OMX market, just over 1%. And Wall Street, in terms of digesting the news, has been really all over the place, although not in a wide range, but it's been moving in and out of the plus column, more often than not in the minus column. But as I speak, it's just about unchanged on the Dow. So it is rallying at the moment, or has been coming back up at the moment. The Dow's down just over 6, but the S&P is up 4.25, and the Nasdaq composite is up 9 points in here. Now, I weighed things up, as you could see, in terms of market prospects. I felt that the bond market sell-off was going to spill over and affect equity sentiment. I think that as people ponder Greenspan's comments, even if he tries to calm markets, and not that he need do so, but if he has any reassuring words to give people second thoughts following the selling that we saw yesterday, I think they're still going to conclude that the market faces more problems, more uncertainties than we've seen for a while. For instance, the uncertainties over Iraq, the uncertainties over the U.S. economy for next year. There's the uncertainty over the U.S. presidential election result. None of these factors are actually going to please the market. And the only certainty, it seems, is that short-term interest rates are going to move higher. And then, of course, we have seen the rise in longer-term interest rates, which are controlled by the market. Now, yes, there's still plenty of liquidity sloshing around, and yes, the corporate profits are extremely good, but that is what the rally that began in March a year ago was all about. So, really, in weighing up the odds here, I just felt that three things that the market can do, up, down, or sideways, that against the short-term overbought condition and up near resistance from previous highs, that the least likely thing we were likely to get from stock markets, not that I couldn't be surprised on this, but the least likely outcome would be a strong push into a new recovery high ground. There's a good possibility that markets will just range sideways, and that's what I had been expecting for the most part. But I saw enough in terms of short-term overbought conditions, prior resistance levels, and the weakness of the bonds to feel that, no, I didn't want to be complacent about that, about sideways ranging, in other words, and I wanted to have some short positions to fully hedge out my equity portfolio, albeit in different instruments than I currently own. I didn't want to sell all of my remaining investments, which are mainly in Japan, albeit much reduced. I should just digress slightly on that. Zero Inc. Now, you remember I'd put in an order to sell that, and that was sold last week. I'd mentioned in the audio that I would be selling that, and that was colleague Will Chawner's share of the year at the beginning of this year. I think I purchased it on the 5th of January, and having sold it last week, I think I got 193,000 yen. So it was a gain of just under 50% after the commission. That was one of my pension fund holdings, but it just demonstrated to me yet again that Japan is one of the just top performing areas in this environment, and I expect this to be the case regardless of what happens. In other words, if markets all go down, I would be surprised if Japan didn't fall less than Wall Street in Europe, and if markets range sideways, Japan would do at least as well and probably move ahead and equally outperform if they're all strong. So I wanted to keep that position, and I wanted to keep my position in India, which has been just romping recently. That's the J.P. Morgan Fleming India Trust. That's my only investment in India. And I wanted to keep my position in Thailand, and that's the Aberdeen New Thai closed-end fund. And equally, I saw no reason to necessarily jump out of some rather small positions that I have in some high-yielding UK shares. And those range from Fenner, which remains reasonably steady. These have been mentioned months ago, or mentioned one time to time, and were certainly mentioned around the time of purchase. And Fenner's unchanged today, but to Croda, where I've still got a small position, Clinton Cards, where I've still got a small position, much reduced. Those were, incidentally, value stocks selected by Peter Bennett, who I often quote on the site and in the audios, and they're all up today except for Fenner, which is unchanged. So I didn't want to necessarily pile out of those, but I also wanted the downside cover if markets were going to sell off in this environment. Now, my positions that are doing worst are some gold shares, because we're getting a general correction in that area. I'm a little bit annoyed, for instance, with a spread bet speculative position in the Newmont Mining, which had been in profit for the most part, to see that slip back into a loss. But I'm not, at the risk of sounding complacent, I'm not overly concerned about those, because I think that the the bull overall secular bull market theme for gold, precious metals, most industrial commodities, and some soft commodities, that will persist, but obviously it's facing a very strong headwind right now from the US dollar rally and just profit taking generally. But I won't feel terribly worried if I ride out a correction in some gold shares, which are core portfolio positions. Now I've got, but they're much reduced from what I held, say, six months ago. Now, additionally, you know, I picked up that position in the Investec Global Energy Fund. And could that pull back in this environment if we get a general sell-off in stock markets? Of course it could. Of course it could come back. And but I wanted to have a stake in that fund because it's going to be, for me, a long-term core position, as I've mentioned on many occasions. What will be my strategy is that I won't be adding to that position unless it does come off. So I've still got lots and lots of cash overall, and I've pretty well hedged out and maybe even moved my position to a little bit net short. And I may actually increase those short positions somewhat. And I was gratified that after I didn't know last night or yesterday that I was going to be shorting in here today, particularly shorting fairly aggressively. I had mentioned earlier on, I think in some of these audios, that I might well add to my having shorted the NASDAQ, that I might well add to my short positions. So I will probably tip the scales more decidedly to a net short position over the short term. Now, is that a low-risk trade? Absolutely not, because these markets are choppy in here, and I would say that anybody who isn't in the habit of doing that, hedging portfolios regularly, and don't even think about it, I would suggest, I would just underline the fact that this is a risky environment. I'm in here right now. There are times when they're relatively low risk, when all stock markets are, for instance, recovering after a major persistent sell-off, and that was the environment that we had for most of last year and into the beginning of this year, nice, orderly, consistent upward trends. I regard that as a safe environment. We had a safe environment for quite a while in the various metals, and we're able to play that. By the safe environment, I mean that they were all trending in the same direction, so we had commonality, and they were performing really quite consistently. That's all changed. So we have these choppy, nervous environments where it's easier to lose money than to make money. That's my much reduced exposure overall. But there are still opportunities, but one wants to bear in mind the greater risk factor here. Okay, in terms of let's mention the bond markets here today. The U.S. Treasuries have been mostly on the downside. That June futures contract, where I am short, that's at 107.14 right now, down six ticks, has been a half a point lower than that, so a little bit still down on the day, but steadier than it was. My only concern in the short term is that this is oversold following the sharp decline. But given that this is an overall top extension phase that this has been in, I regard it as being very much a late top extension phase, and that I think that there are a lot of dangerous leveraged positions on the long side out there. That's the yield curve play that I've mentioned earlier in this audio and on previous occasions. I don't want to jump out too soon. And I'm already out, as you know, at a profit, fortunately, of my JGB position, but that weakened a bit further in here today. So I will probably stay with this June Treasury short position, despite the short-term oversold condition, until or unless it either accelerates on the downside or to a point that I think is unsustainable, or I see an upward dynamic or the round type of rounding pattern that would suggest to me that we were going to and get a additional rally within the top formation development phase. But right now I feel comfortable, say, with that short, aside from the short-term overbought, oversold condition. Now in currency markets, and I'm glad I'm not doing a great deal in here, but we had the dollar, the euro drop down to 118.16 against the dollar. That was a new reaction low, and we had that downward dynamic yesterday reaffirming the euro's correction against the dollar, and I suppose the more important move overall is the dollar's rally, because it has been rallying against all other currencies. I still see no evidence that that move is over, although the euro has bounced a bit in here. It's almost unchanged on the day. One position that I do still have is that euro yen, and that's, I'm out of the money on that right now, but not all that much, and that's at 129.92. I must say, a lot of people must be losing money in the currency markets overall if the comments that I see on CNBC and Bloomberg, which I will frequently watch when I'm in my home gym in the mornings, or anything to go by, because I think people misread the dollar's rally, and they've been talking the yen up quite aggressively. And here we have dollar yen at 109.54, so the dollar's firming against the yen once again. We've got euro yen up in here today, where people have been talking that a lot lower, and so on. It's not that they aren't clever and normally on the profitable side of trades, but I think it does indicate that these mostly ranging patterns overall, quite choppy reactions, are a difficult period for most traders and investors. Okay, rounding out here, what about some of my supply inelasticity trades? Well, they're becoming more, as you know, I've been completely out of those in the last few weeks. Well, actually, it was my last position I closed out last week was the palladium position. I'm glad to be very much on the sidelines, and I'm glad to see these markets reacting a bit lower in here, influenced by the dollar rally. And of course, once the uptrends lost momentum, started to give way, that has led to a self-feeding triggering of stops and people coming out and taking profits, and no doubt some losses as well as these markets head down lower. It's, again, it's a dangerous time in this sector as well. But I do think this is one of the big themes for the long term. Now, you know, I had dangled some baby step buy orders for my newest subscribers. Well, you can see my baby steps article in the forum. But it's just a tactic that I will use from time to time. And I did start buying. I've picked up three baby step units of silver purchases. So that's my first entry back into the supply inelasticity trades. Again, it's a risky proposition because the market's been in free fall recently. Fortunately, I came in today after it had already fallen a long way. But could it keep on falling in the short term? Of course it could, and I've got more bids underneath the market, so I'm cutting this a lot of slack in terms of possible overshoots, and I'm not going to get overextended, hopefully. Elsewhere, palladium, this is now breaking down, and part of the trading right now at 293.50. As I speak, and one of the reasons for that is because platinum has failed to maintain the upward break that we saw last week. Platinum's down almost $25 in here at 891 today. Being copper, the copper market's very nervous. That's down $8 in the States, and as I just put up the LME prices, they're all on the minus side here right now. Again, I'd be delighted to see these pull back further, because I would like to be reestablishing some long positions, because I don't feel the supply inelasticity trades are over by any means. But again, this is a very, very volatile area. And once those good orderly uptrends were broken, once we lost the commonality on the upside, markets are extremely vulnerable to the sort of reactions that we're now seeing. Oil down a little bit today, but well off the lows. For instance, spot crude NYME is currently at 36.14. That's down 36 cents. Has been as low as 35.35. I was a little bit careless in not pulling out my gasoline trade when it was showing a reasonable profit. I think earlier in the week, late last week, and I'm under the water in a natural gas trade, although not disastrously so. But again, it all highlights that this is a tricky environment. And at the risk of repeating myself once again, I will wish you adieu. Have an excellent evening.